Welcome to the Hyphen Church Podcast, where faith meets the spaces in between. We're here to explore what it means to belong, to grow, and to encounter God in the midst of life's questions and complexities. Whether you're here to listen, reflect, or take a step forward, know that you're in the right place. Let's make space together for what God is doing in us and through us. Now, let's dive into today's message.
Thank you, Corey and Kelsey, for that incredible worship, just putting us in a great spot, preparing our hearts to see God in the wilderness, to see Jesus as our guide through these Lenten days. And there are 40 days of Lent to recreate those 40 days in the wilderness for Christ. And so the traditional first reading is where we are here in Matthew 4 this morning. You know, most of us don't choose to go into the wilderness. Most of us just end up there, whether we're exhausted or whether our prayers feel quiet or where there's a season where things just don't work that used to work. And we find ourselves there and we assume that something is wrong. We assume that because we can't hear from God, because we can't build up those things, that we must have been doing something wrong. But as we're going to read this morning, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. He was not abandoned there. He was not punished and put there. He was led into the wilderness. And that's unsettling for us, because if the Spirit leads Jesus into the wilderness, then the desert might not be God's absence. It might be his workshop. It might be the very place where he is leading us as well. And so over the next 7 weeks through this Into the Wilderness series that we have prepared, we're going to walk through what the desert brings us. Deprivation, disorientation, despair, dryness, darkness, and daybreak. Ooh, it's going to be a barn burner. Listen to those words. Boy, oh boy, you can't wait, can you? We're going to talk about the things that we're going to experience walking through the desert. But today we begin in this place. What is God forming in the wilderness that comfort never could? Thomas Merton wrote about early Christians who went into the desert not to escape life, but to confront what the comforts of their life was hiding. Early Christians used to go into the Egyptian desert, not to escape the world, but to confront the parts of themselves they couldn't find in their regular lives. One desert elder said, "In the city, you can hide from your own soul, but in the desert, everything comes to the surface. There's nowhere to hide, and there's no one to rely on." And they believed that the wilderness didn't create the struggle. It revealed what all was already there so God could heal it. God is reshaping us. God is finding a way to work in the wilderness. And that leads us to Matthew 4, Jesus' own struggle, his own temptation in the wilderness that begins this journey to the cross. So read along with me here, Matthew 4, 1 through 11, the temptation in the desert. "Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry," obviously. "The tempter came to him and said, 'If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread.' Jesus answered, 'It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God.' Then the devil took him to the holy city, and he had him stand on the highest point of the temple. 'For if you are the Son of God,' he said, 'throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone.' And Jesus answered him, 'It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test.' Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all of the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. 'All this I give to you,' he said, if you will bow down and worship me. And Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him. Then the devil left him, and the angels came and attended him. Will you pray with me? Father, as we have heard your word, as we have seen what it is that Jesus has done, help lead us down that path. Help be a guide for us. Illuminate in our hearts what it is that you want us to hear this morning. Put it there. Dwell with us so we know you. In your Son we pray. Amen. The wilderness is the workshop. God is revealing something to us in these moments. He's revealing something to us in these desert places. We continually find ourselves in. We continually find ourselves in these places that the devil took Jesus to. Hunger, safety, power. These are the three temptations of Christ to say, wouldn't you rather have an easy way out? Wouldn't you rather like these things? And so let's talk about the stone into bread first, this surrendered dependence. There's a tension here. Jesus is hungry, right? He's fasted for 40 days and for 40 nights. And I don't know how he did it because I can't go like 40 minutes without fasting. So Jesus is this supernatural power using this supernatural being to do that. And so the devil comes to him and says, turn these stones into bread. And that sounds pretty reasonable. I'm hungry, so I would like to be fed. After all, God attended to the Egyptians in the desert, right? He sent quail, he sent manna, he sent water. They were lost in the wilderness. They were on their way to the promised land after 40 years. Shouldn't Jesus be able to do the same thing? Here's the question, though, that we have to ask ourselves about turning stone into bread. When you feel empty, what do you reach for? Do you reach for your phone? Do you reach for something that doesn't last? Or do you reach for God? What if the real temptation here isn't sin, but solving your own hunger or solving your own emptiness without relying on God? There is a surrender here that Jesus is practicing. There is a surrender in the desert places that Jesus is saying, I don't want to have to rely on myself to do this. I know that my Father can do this. See, the wilderness forms this dependency. Jesus refuses to use power to eliminate need, and he chooses trust over control. Thomas Merton observes that desert spirituality exposes what we actually live on. They went to the desert not to escape life, but to confront it. What do you reach for before you reach for God? Early Christians intentionally went there to escape life, to escape their needs, to say, I can do this in a new way, that if I was hungry, I could just go and find something. But now in the desert, I must do something differently. I must wait. I must be patient. I must find those things. They believed hunger wasn't the enemy, illusion was. Hunger just exposed what ruled them. One elder said of them, stay in your cell and your cell will teach you everything. This lack of something helps us become who Jesus was becoming, who God was using the desert to form him as. They believed the desolation of the desert revealed those things that comfort hid. And so the desert fathers believed that comfort actually hides what rules us. They went into the wilderness not to become stronger, but to see clearly. And the wilderness is not about proving strength. It's about discovering what you actually live on. That comfort hides what actually rules us. Dependency is not weakness. We have to learn that first and foremost. To rely on God, to come through those things on the other side, to see those waterfalls, to see those beautiful lands, those good lands that have been promised. That doesn't make us weak people. It makes us obedient. And we know that obedience is where God's heart grows fonder. And so in those moments when we're tempted, when we want to be drawn to something other than God, we have to just pause. We have to ask ourselves, what am I reaching for here? Because what we reach for will reveal our hearts. It will reveal what we're after. I'm not saying you go without meals. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying there is emptiness, there is darkness, there is desert places in your heart, in your mind, in your soul. And what are you reaching for to fill those needs? What are you reaching for to decide that, oh, I can be hungry, I can be filled, I can know the sweetness of the land on my own because of the life that I'm building for myself? Those are shortcuts. Those are not obedience to God. The second thing that the devil tempts Jesus on is this secure identity. Understanding that we need to be secure in who we are. Not in ourselves, though, right? Secure in our identity as children of God. The devil quotes scripture to him. If you are the Son of God, he says. Isn't that interesting? Even the devil can quote scripture. And so it reminds us that we need to be careful when we quote scripture at other people, because the devil can do it as well. He can throw that out there and twist the words and get it to mean something that it doesn't mean in order to fulfill his own requirements. What he wants someone else to do. If you are the Son of God, and this is not doubt, this is performance. If you are the Son of God, then do these things. Show off a little bit. Would your obedience remain if God stopped giving visible reassurances to you? Where would you be then? God, give me a sign. Let me know this is working. God, give me a sign. I want to be faithful to you. But if this is really the true thing that you want from me, just show me a sign. Give me some reassurance that this is right. How much of your faith depends on you being seen? How much of your faith is lived out in the public space? And how much of your faith is lived in the private space? Because I gotta say, as a pastor, I've learned that those are two different faiths that people carry. That, oh wow, I have a conversation with someone at a previous church and they're doing great inside the church, great things happening. And then I'll ask them a question, well, how's your home life? How's your prayer life at home? How's your private life? Oh, we don't do any of that at the house. Because faith becomes a public performance, right? Because faith is then tied to our identity of who we are. If you are the Son of God, this will take care of itself, right? The wilderness forms an identity that doesn't need proof. Jesus refuses spectacle because he already knows who he is. He already knows whose he is, too. He belongs to the Father. And he doesn't need a show. He doesn't need a spectacle to say, hey, you know what? Let me prove it to everyone else that I belong to the Father. That's why we don't do spectacle here. We don't do big worship. We don't do big things. We worship in the basement of a community center. This is not spectacle because we don't need to prove to anyone about our faith in God. False identity begins when truth is twisted, not rejected. When we reject that out of hand, then it can't get twisted. But then all of a sudden, remember, the devil's first lie was, is that what God said? Are you sure that's what he said? And so the devil is not there to reject God outright. The devil is there to twist the things that God said and make us into our own little gods. To say, don't you want to prove your faith? Don't you want to prove your worth? Don't you want to get something out of your faith? Shouldn't you be rewarded for going to church every week? Shouldn't you have a bigger platform to speak out against the things? Jesus was given one, and he rejected it. Because he says, I have an identity in God that doesn't rely on performance in front of other people. Merton often talked about false self versus true self. An identity built on approval is the false self. The idea that we need other people pouring into us. The idea that we need all of this stuff to build us up, to reveal who we truly are. And when we strip that away, when all of that is gone, when people leave or we don't get the things that we need from other people, all of a sudden, who am I? What worth do I have? Where did everyone go? This thing that I've built my life on is suddenly gone. Echoes of Stevie Nicks, right? I built my life on you. And guess what? Those things are gone. The book of Job reminds us of that. Let me strip everything away. Let me take all of this away. Will you still be faithful to God in those moments? Will you still be faithful to God in the desert where there is nothing? Where there is no water, there is no food, there is no shelter? This really echoes Jesus' baptism. This is my beloved son, he says, rather than if you are the son of God. And see, the wilderness question isn't are you the son? It is will you live like it without needing to prove it? If God has called you his child, and he has, and here's the great thing is he's called you his child, whether you believe in him or not. That's the amazing thing about the God we love. And so with the fact that we are a child of God, will we live it without having to prove it to other people? And what does that look like for you to have to prove it to other people? Would your faith feel differently if nobody saw it this week? Take that out of the equation. How can I practice my faith in a way that people aren't watching, that people aren't seeing? And I'm not saying it's a bad thing to share your faith or to talk about Jesus with people around you. Those are good things. Those are good conversations to have. In fact, it's better to talk about how Jesus has impacted your life rather than asking someone how Jesus has impacted their life. You're much more likely to have a better conversation there, because when you ask a non-believer how Jesus has impacted their life, what do you get? Blank stares. You get pushback. You get shut down. And we don't want to shut down the conversation. We want to enjoy the presence of people. And so when we open up about our faith, we open up about our faith, how Jesus has walked with us and how Jesus has transformed our lives and the places where we were versus where we are now and how we're still kind of wandering through the desert. And doesn't that feel odd that as humans we walk through the desert and there's no solution for that? You can talk about your faith with people, about your Jesus and how Jesus has impacted you. But how can you be faithful without being seen? God's not forming performers. He's forming sons and daughters. And the third temptation, this pure allegiance idea. Allegiance only to God. The enemy wants to offer influence without the suffering that it causes. What if the greatest temptation isn't failure, but fast success? What are we giving up in faith, in formation, and understanding about who we are? What are we giving up in understanding who God is if we look for a quick fix? If we look for a place where we're not going to walk alongside another person, but we just want to say a prayer and send them on their way. What if the greatest temptation here is not saying, oh, I didn't baptize someone this week. I didn't bring someone to Christ this week. I didn't share my faith this week. What if the greater temptation is, I just want them to be healed quickly. I don't want to walk alongside of them. I just want them to say a prayer and accept Jesus and go on their way. I want another notch in the belt buckle. Because that's what it's ultimately about, right? Getting people into heaven. We don't have enough time left. We got to get people in the doors. And so we got to be out there. And we got to be writing names down. And we got to get people in. No. That old evangelism style got us into the place we're at now. Where these quick fixes, say a prayer, memorize a verse. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Yeah, let me write that on my cleats. I'll be good to go in the big game, right? These are quick fixes. And God is not after a faith that likes to recite Bible verses. Remember, even the devil can recite Bible verses. God is after our patient and faithful allegiance in times where things are going to be tough. Things are going to get hard, and we are going to be very tempted to look for a quick way out of them. Now, in the mental health crisis that's going on in the country now, there's a great book that talks about the comfort crisis. And the things that people are going into therapy for nowadays are the normal things. Anxiety, stress, depression, all of these things, anger. But you know what they want is they want to be rid of them. They want to say, help me get better so I don't get angry anymore, or I'm not anxious anymore, or I'm not depressed anymore. I don't want any sadness in my life anymore. And then you scroll through Facebook or TikTok and you say, do these five things and all of your dreams will come true. Or, you know, back in the 90s, mail this letter to 100 friends and all of a sudden you'll be rich beyond your dreams. It's just the same message over and over and over again through the generations, as we're always tempted for the quick fix. And what mental health professionals are saying now is we don't want to be rid of anxiety. We can't be rid of depression. We can't be rid of anger. We need to learn how to live inside of them and do the hard work of being uncomfortable. Because this generation doesn't want to be uncomfortable. We want the quick fix to be good again, to feel good all the time. And so this wilderness forms an allegiance to God. And Jesus refuses this shortcut so he can walk this cross-shaped path. And by the way, I think this is the most important of the three temptations. Because it tells us a little bit about our government nowadays as well, doesn't it? Because the devil took him to the top of the mountain and said, here are all of the kingdoms. Here are all of the governments that you can have. I will give them to you if you bow and worship me. And Jesus said, I don't need government to do what we're going to do. The way that the cross comes is not through government. And that is a lesson for us in this day and age, is that whether we are right or left or Republican or Democrat or fascist or communist or socialist or anything in between, the government does not bring the cross. And so if you hear a politician who offers a quick fix, or a politician who says we're going to bring God into the government, or a politician who says this about the way that the cross can come through the government, they're wrong. Because Jesus himself stood on the mountain and was offered all of the governments of the world, and he said, I don't need them. And neither do we. Because our allegiance is to God alone. And that means we live as citizens of this country, but pledging our allegiance to the one true King. Power and spiritual ambition can disguise themselves as devotion. And we want this power, we want this ambition, and it makes us feel like we are strong people. Like if we can just get people to think our way, then they can all be devoted to the same thing that we want. That's not what Jesus said. Devotion was about the heart. It was about stripping away those things that we pledge ourselves to other than God. Desert fathers believed the greatest temptation wasn't obvious evil. It was spiritual success without surrender. Let me say that again because it's important. The desert fathers believed the greatest temptation wasn't obvious evil. It was spiritual success without surrender. We can build quick churches. We can. We can do it. Or we can build faithful churches. You can't build both. If you want to go quick, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. And Jesus is saying, I'd rather go together. I'd rather build the kingdom that Christ has called me to than one that is so empty in all of its promises. So, the question we have to ask ourselves is, what emerges from the workshop? What emerges from the wilderness? What emerges from the desert? We're going to go through this desert journey. What's going to land at the end of that? Notice that the devil leaves after these three temptations. He leaves and the angels come and minister. And the wilderness forms this dependency instead of a panic. We start to understand that our lives are shaped by the things that we don't have. And God is calling us back to say, you know what? Why don't you be dependent on me? Because I fulfill all of the needs that you have. I fulfill all of the things that you don't have. Instead of focusing on what you don't have, focus on me, what you do have. Become dependent on Christ. Become dependent on God. Become dependent on the Spirit to draw you through that. And the wilderness forms identity instead of performance. That we can see we are God's children much more clearly because we don't feel this performance need. We don't feel this need to break out and say, you know what? Look at me. Look at how great we are. Look at how great I am. Identity forms us. and the wilderness forms an allegiance instead of a shortcut. There are no shortcuts in the kingdom of God. It will get uncomfortable, it will get long, it will get messy, and we have to walk that road. Jesus was tempted by shortcuts all of the time. If you are the Son of God, call yourself down from the cross. We forgot about that one, didn't we? The temptation of the devil recreating itself there on the cross. If you can do this, you are the Son of Man. Call yourself down from there. Oh, if only, right? That would make it so much easier for us to have faith, so much easier for us to believe that Jesus is the one true God, because he had the power to call himself down from the cross. We were not guaranteed easy faith, right? The struggle is real. So we ask ourselves this question. What gets formed in the wilderness that comfort never could? A surrendered will comes out of that. A secure identity comes out of that. A purified allegiance comes out of that. When we are taken to these desert places, when we are taken to the wilderness, we are formed into the people of God. That's why when the Israelites came out of Egypt, they had to go through the desert places. They had to wander for 40 years because something was being created in them. And oh, the temptation just to stop where we are and build a city. Oh, the temptation just to go back into Egypt where we could die, but at least we would have food and a house. Oh, the temptation to be comfortable in our faith. Oh, the temptation to find a quick fix for the people around us. God has called us to walk alongside people in their mess, with our mess, for as long as it takes. And we could go quick or we can go far. The wilderness is not where Jesus becomes strong. It's where he becomes aligned. And it's my prayer over these next 6 weeks that we can become aligned with Christ together, with the things of God, with where our hearts should be.